starts with just one voice to take a stand and make a choice to live for God and not hesitate to tell the world about amazing grace. One day that seed somehow breaks through. Where there was one, there now stands two. And soon another takes a stand. A ray of hope that spreads across the land. Across the mountain, across the sea. Soon others join in harmony. They found the cross still standing strong. And soon a mighty chorus sings along. Go reach the world, touch one more soul. Bring one more lamb back to the fold. Each soul another flag unfurled. Each one another voice to reach the world. Don't let me pray, Lord, for wealth or fame. A spark to set the world aflame. Help me to reach the lost and alone, to tell of joy and hope where hope is gone. Go reach the world, touch one more soul, bring one more lamb back to the fold. Each soul another flag unfurled. Each one another voice to reach the world. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Go reach the world. Touch one more soul, bring one more lamb back to the fold. Each soul another flag unfurled. Each one another voice to reach the world. Each soul another flag unfurled. Each one.
Amen. I had to make sure I got the nod to make sure I had permission. I wasn't sure. Now, what I meant to say was Arkansas. That's what I meant. But since I'm from Arkansas, I thought it would, you know, yeah. Amen. All right, well, it's going to be fun. Let's go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to the book of James. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 17. Just one verse. We'll be going over to 1 Kings chapter 17 and staying there for the rest of the sermon, but this is our text verse for tonight. So I believe everybody's there. James chapter 2, verse 17 says, "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Let's pray. God, tonight we thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you for these people. I thank you for this church, Lord, for the support of my family. We thank you for their prayers. God, tonight I do pray that you'll be with this message, that it be an encouragement to somebody tonight. that it would be a help. And God, I pray that you'll work tonight and meet with us. We love you so much and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So then over to 1 Kings chapter 17. I was saved when I was 9 years old. And I grew up in an Air Force home. So that'll answer one of the questions right away. Don't ask me where I'm from, because there is no from. I've been in a different place every 2 or 3 years. And so we've been in Arkansas for the past 9 years. That's the longest we lived in any one place. So that's a place we call home. And ever since I was a kid, I surrendered to be a missionary when I was 11. I'm 34 now, and I'm a missionary. So never discount, a child's decision. The child goes to camp, comes back excited, says, I believe God wants me to be a missionary or a preacher. Don't ever be like, well, okay, we'll see. You're 10 or 11. If that's what God's called them to do, encourage it. Praise the Lord. My parents encouraged it, and my church got behind it. And so I've been living my dream. And it's exciting. It's definitely exciting. But my a lot of people used to ask me, who's my favorite Bible character? And I always used to tell them Elijah. Elijah's been my favorite Bible character ever since I could remember. Just something about him, he always seemed like a tough guy. The guy of bravery and boldness. And so I thought, well, I'm going to look into how Elijah got started. And the first place he's mentioned is in here in 1 Kings chapter 17. And it doesn't give much background. It just goes right into it. 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 1 says, And Elijah the Tishbite, who is of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. So first place we see him, right away, immediately, Elijah's in the king's face. And he's not being careful about what he's saying. Because if you're in front of the king, you got to watch how you say things. Your tone is wrong, off with your head. But Elijah's not worried about that. He's not scared. He knows God is in control, and so he's in front of the king. He has a message to give him. Says, King, you've been living wickedly. You've been living against God. And so look, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. And so right off the bat, he's just a man's man. And so I like him, and all through the Bible, he's one of the only guys that, trash talks other, false prophets. I love that, Where's your God? Is he asleep? Is he on vacation? I that kind of sarcastic remarks, that's what I'm about, so I love that. And godly, that's key, definitely key. And then verse 2 says, And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And so God comes to him and says, you might want to hide. Now to me, that doesn't seem like that's in his nature. Like I said, he's in front of the king, not afraid of what the king's going to do to him. God's in control. I don't need to worry about what he's going to do to me. And then God says, you need to hide. He doesn't question. He doesn't doubt. And he says, I need you to get by this brook, Cherith. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now, when we hear this, we think, well, there's some family with the last name of Ravens. Because that's the only thing that would really make sense. He can't literally mean birds, right? Because that doesn't happen. That's not the way I would do things. That doesn't make sense. That's not common sense. People don't get, does anybody here been fed by birds? No, okay. So everybody here is normal. There was one church I had a kid raise his hand. So, that's all right. You have to tell me that story afterwards. And he was lying, so it's okay. But so Elijah gets the news. You're going to go over here. You're going to hide, number one. And you're going to drink from the brook, which sounds normal. And then you're going to be fed by ravens. But Elijah doesn't question. He knows if this is what God says, this is what God wants me to do, God's going to take care of me. So I'm going to obey. And I know Elijah had faith. Do you know how I know? Look at the next five words. Verse 5 says, So he went and did. That's important.
Right.
See, a lot of people, we say, I believe God can take care of me. I believe God is in control. I believe God can meet my needs. I believe that if I were to go and do exactly as God wants me to do, if I were to start giving more as He wants me to do, if I were to be a part of this ministry as He wants me to, I believe God could take care of me. But I just don't really know. You know, I'm just not going to chance it. I'm sorry, you don't have faith. You don't have faith that God will take care of you. Because faith without works is dead. It can't be separated. Okay? You can't say, I have faith, and then not put works to that faith. You don't have faith. It's like saying, I believe that chair can hold me if I sit in it. But I'm just not going to chance it. Then you don't believe that chair can hold you. Or you would sit in it to really show that you did believe it. So a lot of people say, I believe God can take care of my needs. I believe God can get me to the field. Or I believe God can take care of me if I become a pastor, even though it's not popular. I believe that God can win my loved ones to, you know, I believe God can save my loved ones if I will take a chance and just talk to them about it. I believe God can reach my coworkers, but they're just, I don't think they would listen to me. Well, you don't believe God can reach them then. If we don't have works to our faith, our faith is dead. But Elijah had faith because he went and did, according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Now here's the thing. This is just one verse of one of the craziest things that happens. And I'm sorry, but I like to use my imagination. And I like to picture things happening when I read the Bible. And I like to make it a little more interesting. And not more interesting. It's already interesting enough. I mean, we have it here. But I like to picture it because it's more fun for me. And so think as Elijah shows up to this brook and he lays down, he goes to sleep. And he wakes up the next morning and it's beautiful. The sun is shining, it's calm, and it's, you know, beautiful. And the brook is there, and everybody loves brook sounds for some reason. They sleep with them, you know, on the radio. And so he's got the brook sounds just naturally. And then he starts thinking, you know, I'm kind of hungry. And then his beautiful morning, the silence is broken by these beautiful songbirds. You know, just a tweet, tweet, lovely sounds, right? I mean, that's what ravens sound like, right? The most beautiful sounding birds ever. No. It's like, ha! It's like, wow, that's like the most annoying bird ever. And he's going to feed me. This is awesome. But, you know, there's more than one, though. There's like a whole group of them. And that for those of you that's wondering, it's called a congress. So, yeah, I have some smarts, even from Arkansas. So it's a congress of ravens, and there's just this whole bunch of ravens because, you know, they got to bring, they don't have really small beaks, but they can only bring so much food, and, wow. So they're bringing, sorry, I'm easily distracted, I'm sorry. It's like loud. It's like a tornado or something, scare me. But, so, I'm totally thrown off now, I'm sorry. We got it. So all these birds, there's a bunch of birds, bunch of ravens coming, and they're just, you know, a loud commotion, and they all show up, and, you know, that's got to be kind of weird at first, because you're thinking, where did they get this food? You know, because I've seen ravens getting food before, and it's most of the time roadkill on the side of the road, and I don't want to eat that. I'm sorry. But, you know, this is God has made sure that it's going to happen and that this food is not going to kill Elijah, and so wouldn't it be awesome if the food came from Ahab's table? Right? Which would just be a whole other situation every morning for him. Here come the birds again. Guards, do something. This is crazy. Where are they coming from every morning, every night? And so they show up and some have bread and some have flesh. And so it's like, well, how are we going to do this here? Because you're like really intimidating big black birds. And are you going to like just give it to me? Or are you going to get on my shoulder and put it in my mouth? Because I'm not really for the whole mama bird thing. You know, you don't swallow it and regurgitate it in my mouth. We're just going to go with put it in my hand and we'll call that the way we're going to do it from now on. And this goes on for a while. Because the Bible says in verse 7, it says, and it came to pass after a while. Now you study that out, it comes to about a year. A year. And this is, you know, it's got to be just weird for the first couple weeks. Then after a while, you kind of get used to it. You know, here come the birds again to feed me, and it's great. Then after a couple months, you're more than used to it. You got names for the birds. You know, Blackie and Shadow and Midnight, because you're really creative with blackbird names, and Snowball, the albino one, and Gimpy, the one with the one leg, which is a pain, you know, because whenever he shows up, he's always crashing because he's only got the one leg, and then he drops the food on the ground. I'm like, Gimpy, come on, I'm not going to eat that off the ground. I'm not an animal. Put it back in your mouth and give it to me. And so I'm sure that's exactly the way it happened. But for a year, I mean, that's exciting. I mean, you do exactly what God wants you to do. You obey him, and it's exciting. This is if I can get anything through to you tonight, I want you to understand living by faith is not something to be afraid of. If anything, it's exciting. I mean, it's exciting when you have nothing in your bank account and nothing in your cupboards. That's not exciting. That's terrifying. Yeah. I mean, living on ramen for a week, it's fun. Not so much after a week, but then you really get tired of it. It's nasty. But then you go to beans. It's funny to say, you know, I don't know where things are going to come from. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know if it's going to work out the way I want it to. But God, I'm trusting you to take care of me as you promised me you would. To provide for my needs if I stay faithful. If I give, to know that you'll make sure I can live. And then to watch him, sit back and watch him as he blesses you and takes care of you. Now here's the greatest thing. He's not going to do it the way you want it to happen. See, I'm sure Elijah, now the way I would like it to happen is I want there to be a steakhouse out there, you know, so that every morning I get up and I go and I have my coffee and I have my mashed potatoes for breakfast or whatever, and, you know, have my steak every evening. That's the way I would want it to happen. And I would not have chosen birds, but that's the way God wanted to do it, and it was exciting. And sure enough, every single morning and every single evening, all these birds came and fed me, and it was amazing. God came through for me as he said he would. And he made sure I knew it was only him. It was nothing of my own doing. I couldn't do this. I can't take any credit for this. I can't take any credit for what God is doing in my life. He's making sure I know it's him. And it's exciting. But then the brook dries up. In verse 7, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land, which happens. You know, brooks dry up with no rain. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Okay. Now, for a whole year, I've been fed by birds. It's been crazy. It's been exciting. But God has been faithful every single day. Now, this is gone, and he has a new plan for me. And he wants me to get to Zarephath. Number one, Zarephath is in Zidon, and that is not a God-friendly place. It is a wicked place, and I'm not going to be very popular there. But if I go, then God is going to take care of me like he said he would. And this time, he has a widow woman there to sustain me, which is okay, because I know some wealthy widow women. And, you know, maybe they had a rich husband and, you know, so they're super wealthy living, you know, from the insurance claims or whatever. And that so this can happen. I don't think he actually questioned that. I think he heard God says, go to Zarephath. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there. Keep that in mind, that little phrase. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. But he doesn't question it. He has faith. Do you know how I know? What are the next five words? So he went, and so he arose and went to Zarephath. He put actions to his faith. He obeyed God and did exactly what God wanted. And he shows up, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand, And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Now, if it were me, I'd have to be like, "Excuse me just one moment. I need to have a conversation. Now, God, I'm not questioning you much, but there's a widow woman here that I found, and I was sure she was the one, and that's going to sustain me, but this is apparently the wrong one, because she doesn't have anything left. This is her last meal, and apparently she's a really bad cook, because they're going to eat it and die. It's just not a very promising situation. So, but he didn't. That's not what Elijah did. No. Instead, Elijah said unto her in verse 13, "Fear not." Don't worry. It's okay. "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." Now, how many mothers do we have here tonight? How many mothers? Okay, I have a mother, too, and my wife is a mother. And it seems to me that moms tend to really kind of put their kids before everybody, you know, to make sure that the kids are fed and taken care of. I'm not going to sit down and eat until I know my kids have food already. And so it tends to be the overwhelming, you know, habit when the moms want to take care of their kids first. And so I can imagine that today, if Elijah were to come up to most moms today and say, "I need you to make me a cake," and you say, "Well, I don't have any food left at all, period. I don't even have any cake batter in the cupboard." And Elijah says, "Go and make me a cake first. Before you do anything, make me a cake." I'm sure there's a bunch of moms here that would be like, "Look, I don't care if it's your birthday. You're not getting a cake. I just told you I have nothing. All right? I don't know who you think you are. But I'm taking care of my son, and then we're done." So, but that's not what she did. But Elijah goes on. He says, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." Now, most women would, you know, they'd still be a little leery, go into the kitchen, and they would scrape out all the meal, and they, you know, make sure every last bit of it was in there, and then they'd pour out every last drop of the oil, and then they would make it, which, you know, that just sounds like it would be so tasty, just meal and oil together. Mm. Sorry, it's the way my mind works. But that's what they had, so that's what she makes, and then she has it there in front of her, and do I give it to man of God first, or do I just, you know, maybe I could just give it to my son, and then if God wants to, he'll put more in there, right? That's not the way, that's not the instructions, that's not what God wanted to happen. But it's not what she did either. I know that she had faith. Do you know how I know? What are the next five words? "And she went and did." See, remember, she had her own commandment. God had already come to her and said, "You know, there's a man of God coming, and I need you to sustain him. I need you to take care of him. Don't worry, I'm going to take care of you so that you can take care of him." And so when the man of God shows up and she tells him her situation, and he says, "The oil is not going to run out and the meal is not going to run out. Make me a cake first, and then afterwards there's going to be some there for you and your son." So she has the cake made and she hands it to the man of God, and her son is sitting there right there with her and watching as the man of God eats their last meal. It's gone. I mean, he saw every last bit was gone. But then she goes back to the kitchen. Now, I don't know if you've ever been like really, really excited about something to happen. You know, Christmas morning type feeling, you know, where you feel it in your knees and that kind of excitement where your knees are just kind of weak, like, ha, you know, you do a little giggle and You know, really excited. Men, you know, when we're getting married and we're standing here at the and we're waiting for our wife to show up at the back, you know, just that, my life is over and it's going to be so exciting. You know, that excited feeling that you get? It's kind of, you know, I'm sure she had that feeling going into the kitchen knowing, I just used it all. It's all gone. There is nothing there. And it would be impossible for there to be anything else there because he saw it, I saw it, there's nothing there. But apparently, it's going to be there because God said it is. And so I obeyed God and did what he wanted me to do. So God is going to have to do the impossible. So she gets the meal, and she pours it out. And sure enough, there's meal in there. Now, I don't think it was this quiet in the kitchen. I don't think it was a, oh, good. Now, I think she had a little bit of spirit in her, you know, maybe a little bit of excited Baptist. She pours out, she's like, there's meal in here. Did you see this? There shouldn't be anything in here. I just used every bit and there's still some. And she grabs the oil. There's oil. This is amazing. This is so awesome. It shouldn't even be here, but it is. And this is impossible. This is amazing. You saw it, right? I saw it, Mom. Come on, I saw it. No, he was probably excited too. No, he probably went over to his friend Joey's house and said, Joey, come over to my house and have lunch. This is you got to come see this. And Joey's like, man, I'm not going over to your house for lunch. You're poor. And he's like, no, come on. This is awesome. This is great. So he comes over, right, as Mom is pouring out the last bit of meal and the last bit of oil. And Joey sees that. And Joey's like, man, I didn't know you were that poor. And this is, how are we going to even have lunch? And he says, don't worry. Watch. You just saw her use the last bit, right? This is great. Now cover your ears because Mom gets a little excited. Woo! And this is, wait a second, there wasn't anything in there. How is there still some in there? This is amazing. You see, well, this is great. Because we did what God wanted us to do, and we gave him, the man of God, a cake first. And then God comes through in just the most amazing ways. It's awesome. Amen. But had she tried to take care of herself first, and put her needs, her desires, the way she thought that it should have happened, she would have missed out. How many times do we do that? How many times do we say, that just, I feel that that's what God wants me to do, but it just really doesn't seem like it would work out to me. So we put our way in front of God's way. God, you don't understand. I am not the speaking type of person. I embarrass myself in front of people all the time. That's what I said. And then you obey. And it's exciting to watch God use your life. I was on Guam, in a place that I absolutely love, with people that are the most amazing people you will ever meet in your life. They bring hospitality and family and respect to a whole new level. I mean, these things are more than just important to them. They are like almost sacred. If you're not hospitable, if you don't know your neighbors, if you're not bringing food over to your neighbors, and you're just not living right. I mean, we got so much fruit and mangoes and all kinds of stuff brought over to our house, and I knew my neighbors' names, and I've never had that before. You know, and growing up in the military, it's like the neighbors, whoever they are just loud. You just don't talk to them, you know. And it's different on Guam. Everybody, I mean, they were having their son, their daughter's like sixth birthday, and they come over and said, "Why weren't you there?" I'm like, "Cause it was your daughter's sixth birthday, not my daughter's sixth birthday." And it's like, "Well, you're always invited." Everybody is invited to come over. If there's a fiesta going on, you show up. You don't have to be invited. It's not like here where you show up to some strange kid's birthday party and they're like, oh, we're so glad you're here. They'll be like, there's a stranger at my kid's birthday party. You know, no, on Guam you show up and they're like, oh, please come sit for, you know, and they'll make you a plate. It's just amazing. And I had the opportunity to live there. And see some of them people saved. see him accept Jesus Christ and to know. This is the greatest thing. I hope you know how this feels. If you don't, you gotta try it. You take 5 minutes and you show somebody from God's word how they can know for sure they're going to heaven, and to watch them accept Jesus Christ. And then to get the assurance in your heart to know that that person for their whole life was bound for hell. And now, because of me, they are not. It's amazing. It's one of the greatest feelings in the world. And then to have a family come to our house every Wednesday night and sit at our dining room table as we go through and we teach them the basics of being a Christian and knowing God's word and the basic doctrines of God's word, and to see them just eat it up and desire to know more and then to get excited. We told Jerry, I had it in my video, I don't know if you caught it, but we told Jerry that, see, the plan here is to have more people come. And then as more and more people come, then we can, you know, start meeting on Sunday mornings and, you know, we'll start a church. And Jerry, who's, you know, who was just weeks before that lost and had no idea anything about any kind of spirituality at all, now he's like, yeah, man, just, hey, that'd be great. You know, God can use us. And he gets excited about it. And I'm like, this is awesome. This is like meal that shouldn't be there. And God's using me. It's better than I could have ever imagined, than I could have ever dreamed. I praise the Lord that I obeyed, even though it didn't seem like it was something I could do. It's exciting to live by faith. It's exciting to give, not knowing where it's going to come from. And then to watch as God provides. I got to give you this one more illustration, and now I'll be done. I just came from a missions conference, and my pastor from Arkansas was there. And he gave this illustration, and I'm going to have to steal it because it's just awesome. There was this college student that was brand new to Faith Promise Missions, and he had promised God to give $5 a week, right? And so he had been given $5 and given $5, and then this week it was Saturday, and he was broke, as most college students normally are. And Saturday, no $5 at all. And so he's walking down the street, and he's just praying, God, I don't know where it's going to come from. It's almost Sunday, and I don't have my Faith Promise Missions. I don't know what I'm going to do. And he walks down an alley, and a thief jumps out and puts a gun out at him and says, give me all your money. And he says, man, this is just my luck. He says, I don't even have any money. He's like, this is like the worst day ever. And he starts to complain to this thief, you don't understand the kind of day that I've been having. I have no money at all. He takes out his wallet and shows him, I have nothing. And the worst part is, he's like, I was just praying to God that I'm supposed to give $5 for my Faith Promise Missions, and I don't even have it. I don't even know where it's going to come from. And the thief is just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He's like, man, okay, look, buddy, look. If you will not yell, if you won't call the police or anything, look, I will give you $5 if you will promise to be quiet and let me walk out of here. Do you promise? Yeah, okay, whatever. He gives him $5. His faith promise was provided by a thief trying to rob him. Tell me that's not exciting. Probably wasn't at the time. I'm sure he wasn't thinking, praise God, this is exactly how I wanted it to happen. But that's what's fun about it. It's to live by faith and watch God do things the way we didn't even expect him to. But you'll never know if you don't obey. You can say you have faith, but if you don't actually obey and do what it is God wants you to do first, you don't have faith. Let's obey. God, we love you tonight.